Time again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hello, Toby. My pleasure, and good to be talking to you from Belfast, of which more later.
I think we're going to start with a bit of sort of campaigning and maybe a bit on the back of your conversation last week with Alan about a meeting with the Director General of the BBC, because we've heard that Love Island this week, the ITV2 dating show, the New Islanders have recorded self-descriptions for blind and partially sighted fans to get to know them a little bit more. But there's also been a little bit of campaigning around the sort of levelling up and things like that. So there's a lot of sort of campaigning news at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, here we are talking again about sort of media and broadcasting, and we've gone from the coronation to Love Island. So there's a span of interest. But, you know, they've done a great job actually of doing a lot of sort of support to make the programme, the new series, accessible for blind and partially sighted people. They've all sort of recorded, you know, accessible bios of the contestants. We had the first visually impaired candidate in the previous series, and I'm sure that's made them think very much about accessibility. So hence this series, we've got, you know, the presenters and the candidates, you know, recording information, you know, bios of themselves, and there's other material actually, which is going to make the programme much more accessible for sort of blind and partially sighted people. So, you know, I know it's only one programme and it's only one and another dimension being added, but, you know, this is how we win these arguments. We chip away and we start to get things moving, and suddenly it becomes meaningful and you get a torrent, and then it becomes strange not to do something as opposed to do it. So, you know, it's great they've done it. And, you know, Love Island is one of those, you know, in an age where we all consume media in very sort of fragmented ways, it's still one of those sort of water cooler conversation sort of programs which brings parts of the nation together, a bit like Strictly. And so to get, you know, such an improvement on that, or such a development on that, I should say, you know, is a really big win actually. So we're really pleased, and I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of mileage out of that through the series. I mean, you know, on another topic we talked about, and again, it just makes the point about our consistency and sort of dogged, you know, keeping going on matters. So, you know, accessible television is one, but, you know, we talked a lot about accessible voting, and I had a meeting on Monday this week in the Department of Levelling Up with the sort of civil servants and the Electoral Commission representatives who, you know, working at the coalface of improving accessibility in voting. And we've had some wins last year in improving legislation to really make it sort of mandatory for returning officers to do the best job they can. We've had a lot of evidence coming out of the May local elections and other elections, you know, a month ago about, you know, no voter ID, you know, or needing voter ID to vote. And we trialled a number of pieces of sort of equipment or improved processes to make it more able for blind and partially sighted people to vote independently and in secret. And so the meeting on Monday was good, in that we've agreed some actions which really keep pushing forwards, including the RNIB hosting a sort of conference, I'm going to say, in September, where we're going to bring all the parties together, including the different sort of types of equipment or different means in which you can vote independently in secret, and have a bit of a symposium where we would hope to drive out some agreement on how those become unilaterally used across the UK. So a couple of different but thematically similar sort of bits of evidence about the RNIB keeping pushing on, you know, really rather important items there.
Next week, we obviously have the official opening of the Grimaldi Building, our new London office. And there's obviously sort of, you know, people getting back into the office with the official opening. There's, you know, the RNIB is very open to different ways of working in this sort of post-COVID age that we're living, and hybrid working as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, we're all still, I think, feeling our feet in terms of coming back to work in COVID. I was reading an article in the paper yesterday talking about a survey that thinks that, you know, office space requirement in cities is going to be a bit lower than people thought even 3 months ago, because actually people are sort of digging their heels in to spend a bit more time at home and a bit less time in the office, even though many organisations are trying to ask people to come back more days a week. And I think, you know, we all know it's going to be a sort of hybrid model going forward. So I think two things just to sort of highlight for us from that. One is, you know, we did take the decision to move to a smaller but better building in London, and that's, I think, been a really good decision and has been very, very welcomed by staff who work in London in terms of the quality and accessibility of the building. the Grimaldi building. So we sort of opened for use in March, and we've been addressing sort of snagging and finishing the job of sort of kitting it out. But it's great that next week we've got the official opening on Thursday, with Sophie, Duchess of Edinburgh, coming along to sort of unveil the plaque and have a look at you know, a lot of the sort of accessibility features and assets, attributes of the building. So we're really, really pleased about that. And it's a great support for the brand that she's finding the time to come and open the building. But I mean, we have also got to, you know, recognise it is hybrid, and there's lots of people who still work remotely, work from home, and that can be a very isolating experience for people, you know, where you spend too much time being cut off, and, you know, it affects your mental health, general well-being, you know, your connection to the organisation, to your colleagues, to our purpose, to our beneficiaries. And so we've just taken some concrete action, which we're just announcing to our teams this week, to talk about setting up regional groups whereby we can provide that sort of support, you know, over and above the functional line management sort of people function type support that we would offer clearly, but actually just setting up something that's probably a bit more intimate, a bit more local to regions, a bit more practical, for, and really make people feel supported and connected sort of locally. So, you know, it's interesting that as we, you know, pin down what sort of work means going forward, we've got a, you know, a couple of interesting developments, one that's a bit more traditional around a sort of fixed building, and one that's a bit more new really around making sure we're supporting staff from home in this sort of brave new world of hybrid working.
And of course, Matt, with the wonders of technology, you're talking to me all the way from Belfast, and I think you've been there for a trustee board meeting, I think, this week.
That's right, just finished 15 minutes ago. So we've been here for sort of a day and a half, came over yesterday, had a programme yesterday afternoon where we had some time with the local team and really got to get the trustees to get a really good understanding of the work that we do in Northern Ireland and understand the sort of landscape, the sort of social context that we operate in within Northern Ireland, which is clearly very different to England and the other devolved nations. A lot of commonalities, but clearly lots of things which are very sort of unique to each of the countries. So it's really important for us to get the trustees, you know, into our devolved nations. A year ago, we were in Scotland, we've done Northern Ireland now. It's time to go back to Wales, I think, soon. And so we've had a really good sort of almost day and a half, which culminated in the board meeting we've just had for the last 4 hours. But actually the previous 24 hours was great because we not only had time to connect with our team, we met a lot of volunteers and beneficiaries who are our sort of life, you know, the volunteers, the lifeblood of any organisation, very, very committed group in Northern Ireland, and lots of the beneficiaries who really, you know, get the benefit of their relationship with the RNIB, you know, really, really valuable day. And I think a simple point I made a few times through the 24 hours was, you know, how much we are consciously investing in our devolved nations, because they're critical, they are different, they're different to the UK and different to England. We have to respect that, support it, but actually how much we get back into the organisation from the devolved nations, which can be really interesting proving grounds for, you know, new ideas, whether it's in health in Northern Ireland, there's a lot around accessible voting in Scotland, for example. So, you know, the devolved nations are an enormous source of strength to the RNIB, and it's been great to show that off to the trustees over the last day and a half.
It sounds like you've had a fantastic time in Northern Ireland. If you have any questions at all relating to sight loss, you can always visit the RNIB website. That's rnib.org.uk. You can always call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or ask your Amazon smart device to call the RNIB helpline as well. Well, thank you, Matt, very much indeed for chatting with me this week.
Thanks, Toby. My pleasure, and look forward to seeing you at the Grimaldi opening next week.